I was assigned rules of engagement. It's kind of up my alley. My assembly knows that's kind of the way I focus anyway in scripture, trying to make it real, relevant, because I am totally sold on this idea. We are in a great struggle. We are in a great struggle. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, the things, verse 2, speaking to Timothy, but he's speaking to us, the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be also able to teach others also. Now, therefore, he said, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him to be a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Now, Paul says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Now, remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, this is a faithful thing. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. Now, if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, and he remained faithful, he can't deny himself. So the Apostle Paul said, look, we got to follow the rules. We're going to win the prize. How can he say that he was preaching this message about Jesus raised from the dead, Jesus of the seed of David raised from the dead, according to his gospel, good news, but which he suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains? How do you have good news and chains in the same context? You see, not everything is as it appears to be in this life. I've told this before. There was years ago, back when we were assembling over and all of that, I ran into a guy in town that used to be a student teacher when I was in high school. I mean, he was a young guy when he was a student teacher, so he's, you know, not much older than the students, right? But he was a nice guy. And that's what I've been up to lately. Of course, you know, you'd fast forward and become a Christian and all kinds of stuff. I told him that. He seemed kind of interested, and I told him, hey, bring your family. Come on down to our church meeting sometime, you know, whatever. And he did, came with his family. And we had our assembly, and I thought it was pretty good. And I asked him later, oh, what'd you think? You know, he says, all right. He says, a little militant. I thought, militant? He said, you know, onward, Christian soldiers. That kind of offended him. I think more his wife than him, but didn't like that idea. Onward, Christian soldiers. You know, I don't know what to say. You know, there was a time, maybe, I don't know, maybe Matt can help me out with this. I think it was the Revised Standard, if you have one, maybe you could tell me. they took a lot of the word blood out of the new covenant. Saved by his blood, you know, speaking of the blood of Christ. And they said, you know, to many, Christianity sounds like a slaughterhouse religion, the blood. And they wanted to replace the word blood with grace. It's blood that make the atonement for the soul by the grace of God. You just can't lift those scriptures out of there because you don't like them. It offends you. Hey, look, if that's rubbing your fur the wrong way, turn the cat around, you know? I like how the Jews said to Pontius Pilate, because Pilate had a sign nailed up on the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And the Jews said, hey, don't write King of the Jews. Say that he said, I'm the King of the Jews. And Pilate had had about enough of them anyway, and he said, what I've written, I've written. This ain't gonna change. When the Apostle Paul talks about encouraging Timothy, as he does the rest of us, because you know we're going to see the verse later that we all need to put on the whole armor of God. That includes the loides. Just look at it this way. The boys have the blue armor, the girls have the pink armor, but the girls don't skate in this thing either. We're all in it. We are in a great struggle. I appreciate how Matt, I told him this morning, he really kind of introduced some things that are really helpful to me, because Matt started in Genesis and started making the point. You know, after God created, and it was good, 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 and then he tells Noah, build me an ark, and he saves Noah, the eighth person. Like, what happened to good, good, good? You know, what's going on with that? And how that God prophesied in Genesis 15 that he was going, well, 12, Genesis 12, he told Abraham, I'll bless all the families of the earth through you. But first, in Genesis 15, he said, your descendants will go into captivity, but I will bring them out with great power. Now, that's the Exodus, obviously. But then when you read that Bible history, man, what you see, it looks like a plane crash. I mean, slaughter, destruction. And as Matt well brought out, but God brings a remnant through all this stuff. Well, what is Christianity really all about? If the Old Testament is foundational, it's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, the law was, under Moses. Well, then what is it really all about? Let's say somebody, you know, Bud likes to bring out people that, you know, well, let's just say, here's this guy, don't know nothing. Right? And, you know, here he comes. What is it really? I was one of those guys, if somebody would have asked me years ago, you know, if I believed in God, I would have said, yeah. But if they would have asked me, what do you believe? Well, you know, in God. Yeah, but specifically, I mean, that's what I've said to people. Specifically, what do you believe? You know, God exists. Well, congratulations, you have demonic faith, you know. The demons believe and they tremble. But what is Christianity? I was online with Abney, and some of you guys know Abney, especially you guys from Wauseon and Lima. And he'd been here. He was telling me that he saw on the news, and Olga, or not Olga, but Anya in Ukraine said the same thing. Freaked her out. Saw Orthodox priests blessing these big missile launchers while Russia was launching missiles, killing innocent civilians in Ukraine. And Anya was freaked out. They were blessing those missiles to kill civilians. The patriarch said it was their duty, the Russians, to kill Ukrainians. And she was like, what is that? Avni said, I saw it on the news, them blessing those pieces of missile launchers. I've shared this before. Java Durako from Kosovo was telling me the atrocities in Kosovo and how they cut the heads off the people and put bloody crosses on the walls of their, inside their houses. A cross is a symbol of Christ, right? And he said the Christians were doing that, cutting the people's heads off and doing that. I'm like, Java, those weren't Christians. He goes, well, yes, Mr. Steve. Like, what else would they be? Because they're moderate Muslims, right? What is Christianity then? What actually is it? What is it all about? Why did God send his son down here? And why in the world did it? It was God's people that killed him. If you turn to Acts chapter 10 for just a second. This is the first Gentiles being converted. Peter went into Cornelius' household, Roman centurion. Verse 34, Peter opens his mouth, said, In truth, I perceive God shows no partiality. You know, because at the first they only preached to the Jews. They didn't preach to Gentiles. Not for like 10 years, maybe 11 years. But God gave Peter a vision through a sheet and all that, you know, four for the beast and creeping things. Rise, Peter, kill and eat, you know. He's going to send him down to the Gentiles. You know the story. Peter said, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Now the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. That word, Peter said, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism with John preached. Now God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healed all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of these things, which he both did in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they, the Jews, God's people, killed him and hung him on a tree. How do you go from being the nicest guy on the block and then being crucified by God's own people? Something's not making any sense here. What is going on? Bud just mentioned in his message, the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, great. Yeah, for sure. But if you ask somebody, what are the commandments? I don't know. How can you keep God's commandments accidentally? You can't. How can we wage war, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, if we don't know what war is there? Like the people that got offended because we sang Onward Christian Soldiers. They didn't like that idea. You know, in 1993, Al-Qaeda tried to take down the World Trade Center the first time by driving a Ryder truck. You know, the World Trade Center had, I don't even know, 7 levels of underground parking, you know, for their people to work in that great big building that held 25,000 people per building. They drove that Ryder truck with about 2 tons of explosives in it down into that parking deck and detonated, thinking Tower 1 would fall into Tower 2 and kill 50,000 people. Kaboom! Well, it blew about 4 levels of that, a hole through them parking deck, killed 6 people, injured hundreds. The building didn't fall down. They blew up 2 U.S. embassies, both were in Africa. They hit the coal, the destroyer, blew a big hole in that, killed 30 sailors. But when they knocked the towers down in 2001, then Bush, President Bush, ordered at that time the U.S. military special forces into Afghanistan to take down Al-Qaeda. Like, finally, hello! They had been at war with us. One of the analysts had said Al-Qaeda had been at war with us for years, but we weren't at war with them. Until we really took a major hit. Some of the scenes I've just seen recently when Russia invaded Ukraine. Ukraine was trying to respond with what military they had. And they had a lot of people out there, including women, civilians, who wanted to. They're patriotic, man. They're out there training. They got brooms, right? Sticks or something, while they had Ukrainian soldiers. They're trying to teach these people how to fight. That's a heck of a time to start to get your act together when you're up to your eyeballs and they're coming. And now you have to fight. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking that, because in the physical sense, that's how it happens sometimes. You know, we had Minutemen here during the right before the Revolutionary War. To arms, the Redcoats are coming. And farmers dropped their hoes and grabbed their weapons. I mean, we weren't a super organized army, the Continental Army, back in the day. But we are the army of the living God. We are under attack. It's always been that way. And we better armor up and know what is the battle, what is the fight. If you can't identify the enemy, one of our former presidents did not want to call Al-Qaeda or the radical Islamists terrorists or anything else. He didn't want to utter those words, didn't want to mention it. Look, if you're not going to identify what and who the enemy is, how are you going to fight it? You're not going to do it by accident. Now, the dragon is at war with us. I like this passage in Luke chapter 22, I believe. Jesus is talking to Peter. Simon, Simon, he says, Satan has asked for you. He wants to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith don't fail you, and when you've returned to me, strengthen the brethren. Now imagine that if that was you, and Jesus was looking you right in the face, and he's telling you, you know, Satan has asked for you personally, and he wants to sift you as wheat. He wants to test you to the uttermost. And you're like, okay, Lord, protect me. Make him go away. Lord, take him out. Don't let him get his hands on me. Jesus told Peter, he said, I prayed for you that your faith don't fail, because you're going to need it, buddy, because he's coming. If you read between the lines, permission was requested for you, and the permission was granted. He is coming. I pray your faith don't fail, because you're going to need it. Because if you have the faith for it, you call on me, I can engage. But if you are faithless, I can't help you. I can't engage. Well, the hot tip here, pilgrims, he did ask for you. And the permission was granted. And he is coming. Way back in the day when Don talked me into going into the Marine Corps, Don, no, no. And this, I'm up here speaking, so this is my story, and I'm sticking to it. He has a different version. They had posters recruiting guys. Of course, the old war was going on then, the Vietnam War, and they had this poster of this drill instructor in some recruit's face, and the caption was, "We never promised you a rose garden," from some country song at the time. I beg your pardon, we never promised you a rose garden, that's for sure. One of them says, nobody likes to fight, but somebody has to know how. Somebody has to know how. Whether we know it or not, this earth was created for a reason. This earth is really not all that old, technically. Didn't exist before. It's not going to exist in the future. God tells us that. God created it. God will destroy it. 2 Peter 3 tells us he's going to destroy it by fire. It's going to melt with fervent heat. Okay. So, it's not going to continue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul makes it pretty clear the things that are seen are temporary. It's the things that are not seen that are eternal. So this whole thing is temporary. The days of a man's years, 70. If he's strong, Moses said, 80. But he's still cut off. And we've sang the song earlier, I'll fly away. So you're not going to stay here. We're here for a reason. Now, according to Psalms 100, we didn't create ourselves. And I'm just going to go to one of my favorite Isaiah passages. God said, I have created you for my glory. I'm in Isaiah 42 and 5. Thus saith the God, the Lord, who created the heavens, stretched them out. I think the wind blew my page. Isaiah 43, verse 5. Fear not, I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east, gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up. To the south, don't keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name, whom I've created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. I mentioned that Psalms 100. You didn't create yourself. You were created. And you were created for a purpose. God said, I've created you for my glory. I would submit to you that all those corpses bobbing around in the surf outside the ark weren't the ones created for his glory. No. It's the remnant that always was the one. Now, I will submit to you that passage we just read as a prophecy concerning the New Testament. This is where Jesus said they'll come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they're going to sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the children of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, that Gentile centurion had a faith. Jesus said, I've not found such great faith in all of Israel's in this here Gentile. And I say to you, many will come from the east and the west. Go bring them in. Go into all the world, Jesus said. Preach the good news to everybody. He who believes it and is immersed will be saved. If they don't believe it, they'll be condemned. That's what the prophecy is all about. The promise to Abraham was to all the nations. Through you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Not just physical nation of what people think of Israel today in the Middle East. Paul makes it clear, not all Israel is Israel, but in Isaac is who the promise was made. In Isaac, your seed will be called. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, Abraham had two sons. One born of the bondwoman, Hagar, Ishmael. One by the free, Sarah, Isaac. Paul said it's an allegory. It's symbolic. He said Israel today in the Middle East, Paul said in Romans 9, these are not the children of God. You know, this is where we got to let the Bible speak. You know, like I said, sometimes, you know, some people have this idea that Jews today in Israel, in the Middle East, they're the people of God. No, they're not. Listen to what the apostles and prophets are telling you. No, they're not. Those who are circumcised without hands, the true Israel of God, are the ones who are circumcised in the heart, not in their flesh. Jesus told the Jews, where I'm coming, or going, you ain't coming. He told them, you're going to die in your sin lest you believe on me. Don't take my word for it. You know, call them up. Call up Israel. Get on your phone. Hello, Israel. Do you believe Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ? Nope. Okay, just checking. They still don't believe it. 2,000 years and after all they've been through. I don't want to go there. That's off my thing. But I can't help it sometimes. They asked Jesus in Luke 13. In Luke chapter 13. I mean, they heard. You know, this was hard for them. It's hard for people today. They came to Jesus and asked him, is it really only a few that will be saved? Luke 13 and 22, he went through the cities, the villages, teaching, journeying toward Jerusalem. One of them said, Lord, are there few, only few to be saved? He said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he will answer and say, I don't know who you are, where you're from. Well, they begin to say, well, we ate in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he, the Lord, Jesus, will say, I tell you, I don't know you, where you're from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves, he said, thrust out. They'll come from the east and west and north and the south, sitting down in the kingdom of God. He said there will be the last who will be first, and the first who will be last. He would say in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16, many are called, but only few are chosen, making reference to this remnant. A few to bees. A few to bees that find it. You know, I know I've said this maybe before. I was in a Bible study in Belarus. We were at a house. We had a whole big group of people in there, about 15, 16 people. Oleg was interpreting. So before we started, I just said, okay, before we get going, anybody got any thoughts or questions before we dive in? Because if somebody had a question, I wanted to deal with it. The lady of the house, Oksana, she said, well, I have a question. She spoke in Russian, Oleg translates. She said, I was reading in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21. Not everyone, Jesus said, who says me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name cast out demons in your name, done all these wonders in your name? Jesus said, I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And her question was, how can that be? How can that be? They know him. Lord, Lord, did we not in your name? We did this, we did this, we did this. And Jesus said, I don't know you. She said, how can that be? I said, that's a good question. So about an hour and a half later, you could have heard a pin drop. You see, because people have a skewed idea, what is Christianity? What is God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus? I'm turning to Ephesians chapter 3 for a quick second. Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says, how that by revelation he made known a mystery that had been kept secret since the foundation of the world. Ephesians 3, starting in verse 3, how that by revelation, by revealing, he said, he made known to me the mystery, the hidden knowledge. Paul said, I briefly written it. In fact, you already read part of it. He said, I briefly written it. Now, when you read what I wrote, you will know or have my understanding and the knowledge of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it's now been revealed by the Spirit to who? The holy apostles and prophets. Drop down to verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to who? To the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 1? Angels wanted to look into this. They didn't know what was going on. In other ages, this was not made known to men as it's now been revealed. The angels didn't know either because it's about their judgment. There's an eternal purpose. God said, I've created you for my glory. Now, near as I can tell, when I look at Romans chapter 8, you didn't ask to be here, and I don't mean here at camp. You had nothing to say about being created. One day, your eyes just opened up, you realized you were here. And not probably even as a kid. Little kids don't think about that. Where'd I come from? Hey, what am I doing here? Kids don't think about that. When our eyes open, we begin to understand good and evil and the depth of things. We start, this is when humans start this quest, this journey. We feel an emptiness. We don't realize that it's an emptiness of God. We have a hole. We're hollow. Because, see, you go from the innocence of your youth when you're a child, innocent before God, having no knowledge of good and evil. But when the commandment comes alive, sin revives and you die. Now, you may not even be aware that that just took place if you don't know the Bible. Well, you probably, I certainly would have never known that. I didn't know that till I was 30 years old, even though it probably took place 10 years earlier at least. Now, I'm just going by an example out of the Old Testament stated more than once that God held people accountable, the Jews, at 20, having knowledge of good and evil. That is the tree in the midst of the garden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't just an apple tree. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, you partake of that, and the day you do, you'll die. Why? Because eyes will open. Well, in doing that, now Eve was deceived. She would say, he tricked me. You see, she had no fear of evil because he had no knowledge of good or evil. So the devil comes up, you know, probably as an angel of light. You know, I really don't know. Did he come looking like a snake? Well, I don't know. Maybe he did. But she wouldn't have been afraid of the snake. Not like my wife. If you see a snake, don't tell her. And she'll clear this tent out. He tempted her by telling her God was holding out on her. That she was entitled to more. She saw the food look good to eat. And the desire to be wise, to be like God. Woo! Okay, give me that. Her eyes open. She called her husband, hey Adam, come here, check this out. And it began. Did God know that was going to happen in there? Yeah. It had to happen. Because this had to begin. Already quoted out of Moses, out of Psalms 90, God leads men into destruction, but then he called them out. We have to go through this process. It's intense. It is a struggle. And it will be a battle. And we're going to have to fight this the way that, according to the rules. According to the rules. We have to let the scripture teach us. Jesus says that we need to follow him. He's the captain, according to the scripture. He is the Lord of Sabbath. Not Lord of Sabbath. Lord of Sabbath. He is Lord of hosts. He is the commander of the armies of heaven. And he is the captain of our salvation. And we need to follow him and we need to pay attention. He will lead us through this. He went through it first. You guys, if you heard me before, you need to understand something. When Jesus came down here in the likeness of sinful flesh, born of a woman in that manger, and was here for 33 years and some change. The risk against him, the danger was real. He was not a robot. He was of free will. Now, he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. Not because he was incapable of sin. He was capable of sin. James chapter 1 says, you can't tempt God. God is not tempted by evil, nor does God tempt any man, but people are tempted when they're drawn away of their own desire and enticed. When lust is conceived to bring forth sin, sin would finish, boom, bring forth death. Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without sin. How in the world did he do that? The scripture tells you. There's two things you need to overcome sin in human flesh. One, you have to have the word of truth because you have to internalize that to develop the faith of Abraham. Abrahamic faith, God saw that and said, in you, Abraham, I'll bless all the families of the earth. Because Abraham was fully persuaded whatever God said he could do. He didn't stagger at God's promises in unbelief. But he, and these promises that God was giving Abraham were just almost nonsensical. He was going to have a child in his old age. It said he didn't consider his body already dead being 100 years old or the deadness of Sarah's womb. When God told him you're going to have a child, he's like, okay. He didn't like, what? You sure? That's what Zechariah did. Hey, you seen the little woman here lately? Zechariah got his lip zipped. The angel said, because you didn't believe. Abrahamic faith, you got to have that. New Testament, the scripture will produce it. Faith come by hearing, hearing the word of God. This will develop that kind of faith. Jesus said, you know, faith, real faith, would move a mountain, even small as a grain of mustard seed. It would move a mountain. You could say this mountain be removed into the sea. It would obey you. That's power. Now you need strength. Divine assistance. Holy Spirit. That's what God gives us in the new birth. Radical difference between Old Testament law of Moses and New Testament faith in Jesus Christ. Big difference. Because in our new birth, when we repent, we immersed in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now it says specifically that if you now through that Spirit put to death the deeds of your body, you'll live. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the rules of engagement. You have to have that. It was, I wasn't knocking the Ukrainians. They were in a panic. And they are fighting like crazy. But man, we've had to ship weapons and weapons and, you know, they've got the zeal to do it. We need to give them more if they're going to do it. Or back. Why would we want them to just lose slowly? You know, some of these messages, even like Bud was bringing out, that once saved, always saved, yes. You come so far, accept Jesus in your heart or whatever, and you just kind of, yeah, you come and you can, blah, 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 blah. And then one day you realize you missed the whole point. Why would you go through all this only to then die and be lost? Jesus said, it's not the people that say to me, Lord, Lord, that go to heaven, but it's those who do the will of my Father who's in heaven. We need to armor up. Ephesians 6:10, you know the passage. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. He said, you ain't fighting flesh and blood. You ain't fighting Chinese. We're not fighting Russians or Africans. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand an evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, girding your loins with the truth. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Having the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, you got to take the shield of faith and where you'll be able to quench all the fiery attacks of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Look at that outfit. You go in the military, you have to sign a paper saying you want to be there. And the idea is, no, you have to do what they tell you to do. At least it used to be that way. I know when I went in, they didn't care what I thought, felt. They had one thing in mind, and they was going to beat the slimy civilian blah, blah, blah right out of you. They were going to destroy you so they could raise you up in what they wanted you to be, that you would obey orders and die on command. You know, if you're in a firefight and your squad is pinned down, the lieutenant says, you know, tells you as a corporal, whatever, get your squad, go up and take that machine gun nest out. You don't go, sir, somebody will get killed if we do that. No kidding. It's got to be taken out. So go do it. Maybe half of you will get killed. Some of you will get wounded, but you'll take the machine gun nest out. I mean, you've seen the videos of Operation Overlord, Normandy. Those poor guys, when those landing craft were coming up on the beaches of Normandy and they were being slaughtered, those Nazis were just gunning them down. at Tarawa when the Marines went to shore. They said, land the landing force. 1,500 Marines headed for the shore. None of them made it. Land the landing force. The 2nd Battalion, I think it was 1st Marines, they headed for the shore. 55 made it. Land the landing force. The 3rd Battalion, until finally they got a toehold and they took it. You don't just get to decide what we're going to do here. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You seek to save your life as you know it, you're going to lose your life. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What does a man profit if he gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? We have to deny self, take up the cross. We need to get up, get dressed, and put on the whole armor of God. And we need to fight this battle according to the rules. Now remember, what he is conforming us into in this process is called the transformation of the renewing of the mind. I told you our drill instructors intended to literally erase that civilian mindset that we had and give us a whole new identity. A military identity. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in Romans 8:29. Those whom he foreknew, right here, he predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of his son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren just like him. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the life of Jesus is to be seen in our mortal body. Verse 7 says, this is a treasure we have in the earthen vessel. This is the spirit, the life-changing spirit. That the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. You can't change yourself into the image of the Son of God. That's God's work. We are his workmanship. Now, he said we're going to be hard-pressed on every side. This is going to be tough. Okay. Then we're going to be hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're going to be perplexed sometime, but not in despair. Not in despair. Persecuted, yep, that comes. All who live godly in Christ Jesus going to suffer persecution, folks, that expect it. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus, he said, might be seen, may be manifested in what? Your mortal body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. You got to look squared away. You got to be fully decked out. Dress right, dress. When you're given orders, it's aye, aye, sir, three bags full. Man, here we go. We salute, we execute. The Apostle Paul makes it clear. Look, you're bought with a price. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves with all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He said, you was bought with a price. I'm going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You was bought with a price. You were to glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. Do you not know that your body, that body of yours, is the temple now of the Holy Spirit? If you're born again, the Spirit of Christ is in you. Spirit of God. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, Paul said, you're not his. Do you not know that? The Spirit who's in you, whom you have of God, you're not your own. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. He made it. It ain't yours. I know I've told this before. He told us, you know, after we got through boot camp, we went to Camp Pendleton for infantry training. They would give us a weekend pass. You could go on down to the beach at San Onofre. That's in the Surf City song, you know, San Onofre. But the beach that we had was private. It was military. But they told us, now they'll be going down to the beach. They'll be laying on that beach, boy, and burn that body where you can't put that pack on Monday to be out in the field with that heavy pack on your back. You lay out there and you get sunburned. We're going to court-martial you. They said, because that body ain't yours. That body belongs to the United States government. And you damage it willfully, that's malingering. You can be court-martialed. That's what Paul said. That body ain't yours. You're bought at a price. That body belongs to God, and he dwells in there. You don't want to be defiling that body now. That temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? I'm going to close with this. We are no longer to walk as we formerly did as Gentiles. And I'm just looking right there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, testifying to the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of the mind, having the understanding that was darkened. We were alienated from the life of God because we was ignorant and because of the blindness of our hearts. And being past feeling, we had given ourselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness, to greediness. But now you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him, if you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you now put off concerning that former conduct, that old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on that new man created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What a radical transformation. You are not the same. I'll tell you what, I know when I graduated boot camp, Don can speak for himself. I didn't know who or what my name was. I've been called so many names in that process. I couldn't remember hardly what I used to think or feel or believe. That 12 weeks, whatever, that intensity. Now, a lot of guys don't make it. We've been talking about remnant. We lost probably half, I don't know, we started with 70-some, graduated 35. Some literally flipped out and lost their minds. The pressure was so great. On purpose. They do that on purpose. It's against the law to do that. It kind of was then. It for sure is now. But you know what? If you guys ever watch Navy SEALs, they put that stuff on TV. That, how many of them, the young guys, they're strong. It ain't got nothing to do with muscles, man. This is total conviction. It's all in the mind. That you have to, you go in this process to be a Navy SEAL, most of them don't make it. And them are tough guys. The Delta Force operators, the same way. They need real special operators. Jesus said, you got to enter at that narrow gate, because wide is that gate and broad is that way that lead to destruction, and many are going in that way. And he the judge. John 5, Jesus said, the Father don't judge nobody. He's given all the judgment to the Son. Jesus said, you got to go through the narrow gate, because the big wide gate, many going in, that's to destruction. Because straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And Jesus said, few will find it. You know what the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3? That God is not willing that anybody should perish. God said in Ezekiel 18, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But they would turn and live. Well, that's God's will. Well, why does Jesus, the judge, tell us that most human beings that have ever lived will perish? Because God says, look, I set before you good and evil, life and death. Now choose life that you may live. The reason why so many don't make it is because they don't choose life. Nobody's going to sign up for hell. Please send me to hell. I'll take hell, please. Nobody's going to say that. But they don't choose life. They come up with their own thing. They accept Jesus in their heart. They go to church once in a while. They're not going to make it, because that's not what this ever taught. You can't find that in here. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. It never was. It's been just like Matt's been saying, and there'll be more, I'm sure. It is a remnant that's going to make it. But every human being was made for it. There's not a human being that you've ever seen in your life that was not made for this. They are created for God's glory. Will it be intense? Yes. Is it difficult? Yes. But it's difficult not to command. Was your past life easy? Mine wasn't. I didn't like my life and I was struggling. I just wanted a new life. And God offered me a new life and a changed life. And this one is good. It's difficult. Yes, it has its challenges. But look, if I got to go through a tunnel, I want to go through one that's got light at the end of it, not a freight train coming. I mean, you know, because our time here is short. But we have to do this according to the rules. And we have to accept the teachings of the general master. It's Jesus that tells you some tough things. But he's with us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So let's armor up and get ready for work.